The Antidote is connected with SD for a talk. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
From what I understand, SD is your music alias. And yes, I've tried to figure out how to pronounce your actual name, but I am lost.
Yeah, let's see how you do. Let's hear it.
Sagan Daramola.
So the last name, it's as good as you're going to get it for someone who's not Nigerian. So I'll give it 100%. So the first name is a tricky one. So the first name, you said it as it's spelled. But when you, in Nigeria, where S-E for my name, it's pronounced S-H-E. So instead of saying Segon, it's Shagon.
Shagon.
Yeah. So, but you, if you weren't told, you wouldn't know. Because when you see S-E-G-U-N, it's Segon. It's pronounced Shagon.
Can we make this easy on myself? And we'll just stick with S-D?
We'll stick to S-D. Yeah, we can do that.
So you mentioned Nigeria. How long has it been since you moved to the States?
So I came over here in 2001, so it's been, 23 years? Yeah, so I left Nigeria when I was 26, 27. Yeah, I came to the United States for studying. I just decided to stay afterward.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Something I'd really like to know is what attracted you to the music scene?
Well, so I think since I was 15, I started music playing the keyboards. My sister was actually in the church choir. She learned how to play the keyboard. She taught me how to play the keyboard. So I learned, and after a while, I also started playing for the church. So it was while I was playing keyboards for the church, there was a time in our choir where we had a kind of like a shortage of male singers. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of typical for a lot of choirs. You see a lot of females who want to serve in church, but the males, we don't want to do nothing. So the music director started recruiting anybody. So even all the musicians, they said, hey, you guys, you're going to have to, at some point, just come help me out here, you know, play one day, then sing the next day. So that's how I kind of got into singing. And then I kind of loved it. I said, hey, okay, I think I like doing this as well. And so then I kind of developed myself as a singer. So that's how I came into the singing side of things. Mm-hmm. So when I moved to the United States, the church that I joined there too, I had opportunity to be in the worship team, and things just kind of progressed from there. I've spent a lot of time in the worship team. I'm actually still in the worship team at my local church right now. But yeah, so that's where my passion for singing kind of grew.
Now, you've got to be honest with me that making music can't always be fun.
No, it's not.
So what do you personally get out of creating a song?
So I think the fulfillment you get from creating something from scratch is there. You know, creative people find fulfillment in whatever they create, whether you think it's good or you think it's bad, just that journey is fulfilling. I think the hard part of it comes when we're now trying to create something that we want to put in a space where there are other things in there. So I can get up today and say, oh, I want to write a song about love, write a song about whatever. I write the song. There's no judgment to it. I feel I like it. But the moment I say I need to write a song and I have to put it out there, knowing that there are like a million other songs out there, how is this song going to compare with that one? How is it going to do well against that? Then that's the not so fun part. That's where the pressure comes in, and then it kind of takes the joy away because you feel you're trying to like compete, you're trying to make the song sound like this, like that. So that's when the burden of kind of like the not so pleasant part of it comes in. But other than that, just creativity in of itself, there's a joy there. You know, a lot of people say, oh, if I were to do something and not get paid for it, it would be music, my passion. And I kind of feel the same way too.
Well, the first creation I heard from SD was in 2022 when you released the beautiful Scar EP.
Yes.
You and I need to get into the title track, because you got to explain, how can a scar ever be considered beautiful?
Yeah, so that one, my 13-year-old, 2021, she had surgery. So she had a nerve transplant. They had to put an incision front of a thigh and move a nerve from the back to the front. So it took a while for the incision to kind of close up and heal. And she really didn't like the scar that it left there. And it was kind of a funny story. We were just talking about it. She said, I don't like this scar. This scar doesn't make me beautiful. It's messed up my leg. And so, but I told her, yeah, I get what you're saying. And it's because of how you're looking at it. Yes, it looks like, oh, I didn't have scars before. Now I got this line across my thigh. It looks like, you know, my body is no longer beautiful. But I said, well, think about it this way. What does it remind you of, though? The scar reminds you that you went through something, but now you're healed. The problem got fixed. I understand the scar has been put there, but that scar reminds us that we had to go through surgery because we had a problem, but now the problem got fixed. So every time you see that scar, how about you don't think about how ugly it may look, but think about the backstory of that scar. It's a beautiful story. So that's how that beautiful scar came along. That, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, how can a scar is ugly, but how can it be beautiful? Yeah, if you think about the problem that just got fixed. So that's how I kind of explained it to her. I'm not sure if she completely got it, but that's how the song kind of came about. Yeah.
So that's what inspired it. But you took it a step further.
Yes.
Because you relate this one through your Christian faith.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Christian journey itself, I think one of the misconceptions that we have about Christian faith is salvation in of itself, it's beautiful. But when we are living out that salvation, it's going to be a lot of cuts and bruises because things are getting fixed. You know, yes, we give our lives to Christ. We take that revelation into our lives. It doesn't mean everything just, you know, gets turned around beautifully. There's some things that we may have to battle. There's some things that God probably have to cut out of our lives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we let him do what he does, even when we see scars or we remember like unpleasant experiences, adversity, right? We look at it, but we see the glory that comes out of it. It makes that adversity, it makes it more of a pleasant memory. Right. Than when we are in it. When we're in it, it doesn't look pleasant. It's painful. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to go through this. But when the glory comes out of it, it makes it more pleasant. So that's how I kind of related it to Christian faith. Yeah.
Has that always been the focus of your music, to tell others about Christ?
Yeah, because that's where music started for me, in church, which doesn't mean it becomes organic. I know a lot of people, a lot of singles who started, they're singing in church, but now they're in other genres. But for me, not that I've wanted to leave the faith-based genre, and not that I don't have other songs that are not like faith-based, but they're still positive. The draw for me is just, I would say it's my first love. Even if I can write a song about something else tomorrow, you would look at that song and you would still be able to say, okay, there's an impact of my faith in it. You will never see a love song from me that presents love in a very depraved, selfish, self-serving way. It's not every song that has, you know, Jesus, the blood of Christ, and all of that Christian literature. But when you still see it, you still see the elements of what God requires of us as Christians, you know, that righteous living, that godly living. But for me, it's been hard. There have been times when I've, you know, kind of thought about like, oof, you know, maybe I should just fully go into another genre. Maybe I'll find more success there or whatever. But every time I return to the drawing board, say it's time to write a song, it never leaves me. And at some point I decided, you know, I'm not even going to fight it. I'll just take it wherever, you know, wherever it goes.
You're right, because you could have more success just doing a mainstream music song.
Yeah, and because the whole thing that's about reach, you know, somebody wants to go into a mainstream genre, it's about reach. They want to know that they're reaching more people, or they want success in terms of, okay, my music has to sell this much, that much, I'm going to be famous, or whatever the reason may be. But even in the faith-based genre as well, it may not show up in, you know, tangible places like, you know, scorecards or streams or whatever the case may be, just knowing that your music reaches people and you're able to touch people with your music, that should be the fulfillment. When it comes to the financial things, I think every human being is gifted so versely that there's not one way to be financially prosperous. And if you find yourself in a music genre that is not as financially prosperous as other genres, there's still something in your hand. So for me, the pressure of I gotta sell this much is not there because right. I have like other gifts and talents. I have abilities that bring prosperity in other ways for me. So it's never a pressure. So by God's grace, I fund my own recordings. Everybody that's part of my creative process, I don't have a record deal. Everything gets funded from the other things that I do. So it takes away the pressure of me having to, be tempted to try to compromise anything about my music, because every success comes at a cost. I don't put my peace and joy on the part of the journey that I can't control. My whole joy is in the studio. And once it's done, I've gotten content, I'm fulfilled that I was able to take something from zero to finish. And then everything else is extra for me.
Let's hear about your latest creation, the single, Fine. The bridge of the song says, "In this life we're in, nobody said it would be easy." You're obviously aiming that statement at Christians.
Yes, because like I said before, I don't know where we get it from. People think God is a shield from adversity. Mm-hmm. God is a source of peace and strength through adversity. I think in John 16, right, it said, "In this world you will have trouble." So being a child of God does not mean you're not going to go through challenges. You know, a lot of people want to be Christians and then, everything becomes easy. Maybe you're looking for a business, you submit proposals and automatically, you get your contract. You don't even have to struggle. You don't have to meet people, talk to people. Health problems, just experiences that just kind of find a way to take joy out of us. Those things, God never told us we wouldn't go through it. But when you understand that we are going to go through it, but then there is grace to go through it, that ought to kind of calm you down. I see a lot of Christians who don't want to have to fight. Mm-hmm. But there's just, I don't see where. If you don't fight, then one begins to question if there's anything about your Christianity that is not rubbing the world the wrong way. The mere fact that you profess your faith, it means that now you're operating outside of the world ideology. And that means there will be friction. Automatically, there's going to be friction. So,
absolutely.
But, yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people don't realize. So I was just trying to say that bridge, that don't lose your sleep if you wake up and find yourself in a challenge or you have some trials or tribulations. That's life. Life in of itself is at best, dysfunctional. It comes with a package, but understand that what makes us different is, yes, we go through challenges like everybody else, but we have a God who has promised grace, and we already have an assurance of how it ends for us. So if we know how it ends for us and that we know that it's going to end well, then that should give us more confidence in going through whatever it is we kind of find ourselves in. So that's what I was trying to say in the bridge.
Now, earlier on, you'd mentioned about your daughter. So what does your family think about your music career? Have they ever tried to convince you to take up bowling instead of music?
Actually, no. So my daughter plays the guitar. So my 17-year-old, she plays the guitar. The younger one, we try to get her into some kind of music. She did piano for a little bit. She didn't like it. She played the drums for a little bit. She was actually good on the drums, but she doesn't have a passion for music. She wants to do other things, more into creativity, like fashion and beauty products for women. But my wife, too, she's on the worship team. So there's music in the house. So I'm not like a square peg in a round hole. Right. Everybody's doing all kind of music. The only time they give me grief about it is if I have to record a song. because I have my own recording set up in the basement, it just means that for hours and hours, they don't see me for that creative process. That's the only thing that gets on the nerves. So, but once I'm done with like my own, you know, putting down my vocals and all that, sending up the song to the producer and the engineers, then everything, you know, everything becomes normal. But there's music all around.
Well, I'm glad that you've stayed with the music. And I got to thank you a lot for this talk, SD. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.